Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I'm going to start today in Mark 4. It says, "And again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea." Why would they put that there? Why do you think they put that there? Why? That he went by the sea and he sat in a boat by the sea and the multitude gathered around him. Because it's the fulfillment of a prophecy. "Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. Thou leadest me beside the still waters." I mean, you literally see Jesus do that in reality. Create a reality out of that psalm that has very broad meaning for all of us. Still waters, I mean, even as a metaphor, there's lots of meaning there. But Jesus literally, because there's another scripture that says he cause people to sit down in groups in a grassy place. So it's amazing that when you spend time in God's word opens up to you and you start seeing things in it and correlations in it that really give your inner man a happiness. You become delighted when you see the integrity of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that it's all intertwined. It's a beautiful mosaic or, you know, what do you call those things? Exactly, tapestry. That's the word that my brain wouldn't come. So he began teaching, verse 3. Listen. Jesus started by saying, "Listen." And it has to do with your relationship with God's word. Listen. Because at the end of it, it's going to say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Listen. "Behold, sower went out to sow, and as it happened, he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. So some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he begins by saying, listen. And he ends by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. You know, we don't want to go through the work of actually figuring out what this parable means. Why don't you just tell us? Right? it's like a word puzzle, right? It's like a mind game. Why don't you just tell us? And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. And that means if you don't sit on a parable, if you don't sit on the word of God, if you don't ponder the word of God, if you don't examine the word of God, you're on the outside. And a parable to you is just a parable. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So it's only when you can hear it, you hear the word of God, that you have the opportunity then what you're going to do with the word of God, whether you're going to turn or not, or whether you're going to let the word of God be a part of the surface of your soul. And you'll know scriptures, you memorize scriptures, but you've never really heard any of the scriptures. And you haven't really made a turn in your heart so that your sins should be forgiven and you could be healed. Right? And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables, any parable? How will you understand any parable? And he says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. Basically, he gives them now the key to the entire parable. The seed is the word. The key to the entire parable is the seed, is that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Okay? And the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. So he basically is just saying that, you know, you don't like what the preacher is saying, or you don't like what Jesus is saying in that scripture. You know, there's an entire population that just cherry picks scriptures today. They don't read the entirety of the scripture, so they, you know, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, the stuff that's harder, and then the stuff that we rejoice in hearing about God's love and, you know, his commitment to us and all, but the things that are harder that asks us to give up our own lives. So the first, there are some that the word is snatched right out of your heart by the devil. That's what he's saying. You don't like that word, you don't like that scripture, and the devil snatches it right out of your heart. Right? Satan comes and immediately takes the word that was sown in their heart. So that word has no benefit to you. It has no benefit. Zero benefit to you. He said, these likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Right? So you're just not a deep person. You've heard the word. You said, man, Pastor, that was a good one. Or, oh, Lord, I read that in my Bible. What a great word. But then problems happen in life. You know, it doesn't even feel like God is alive. It's like, where are you now, Lord? You know, I was feeling all happy the other day when I learned that scripture, but I can't even remember what that scripture was. I mean, people have no depth in themselves. You don't, not letting the word agitate you as it's supposed to. You know, you have a washing machine. You put the dirty laundry in the washing machine. And the washing machine exists to stick the water in and agitate the dirt out of it. God's word is supposed to be, as you pour God the water of God's word in, it's supposed to agitate the dirt out of you. Right? Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns, and they're the ones that hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And that's the one that scares me. It always has scared me more than the other ones, because it says that you can actually maintain your identity as a Christian plant, right, as a believer plant, and never bear any fruit. You'll stay in a church, you'll be in a church community, but you won't bear the fruit that we're entitled to as children of God. We don't essentially change. We're not essentially a changing entity, which is really supposed to be the organic side of God's kingdom. Is like your garden planted in the springtime, and over the summer it's growing all the time, but not ready to be harvested until it comes into its full fruit, right? And so these are choked by weeds people that are choked by the weeds of the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches and all of those kind of things, and they choke off the possibility of bearing fruit, right? Number 20, but these are the ones that are sown on good ground, those who hear the word. Remember, he started with listen, then he ended with he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And now he says the ones who are sown on good soil are the ones that who hear the word, who accept it and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Really interesting, because he's still in the same discourse. And those are the things that I become curious about. I'm like, wait a minute, there's no break in his subject matter. He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about the use of the word of God. It doesn't say, now stop your tape recorder here and stop and start a new thought, new train of thought. He's still talking about the effect of the word. He said, is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should not come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, again, he's saying, let him hear. What does the one thing have to do with another? That light in you, that word of God, that light in you has to be dispersed. You just can't keep it in your basket. You just can't put it under your bed. It has to be dispersed. You have to talk about the word. It's not just good enough that you hear the word. You also have to talk about the word. You have to let the light shine. We must let the light shine. I remember Arthur Blessed saying, I was a little child and I got, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit and I got saved. And I used to spend all night long out in the tree, out in the front yard of my house, talking to God. And he said, Only company I had out there was our dog. And he said, so I preached to our dog. And if there's ever going to be a dog in heaven, it will be my dog, because I preach to that dog every day. Right? That you have to talk about it. If you just won the lottery, I'm going to tell you something. People are going to know about it. You're going to tell people about it. You would say, oh, I wouldn't do that. I'd keep it to myself. No, you wouldn't. Something that good happens, no, you're going to tell everybody. And then he said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. To you who hear the word of God, to you who hear the word of God, you allow it, the layers of your onion, to be unpeeled, and you allow your heart to be impacted by the word of God. To you who hear the word of God, more will be given. That's just how it is. I've known people who have been Christians for, you know, longer than I have, and I don't ever hear a scripture verse coming from them. In a natural flow of conversation, the word of God never comes out of them. I've told you this before. The program that runs underneath the program of my consciousness The operating system that runs underneath the program of my consciousness is the Word of God. And that's not, listen, I didn't even get saved until I was 26. So this is not an impossible task. To hear the Word of God is not an impossible task. You just have to be diligent to read it and to hear it. And let Jesus, you have to say going into the thing, God is right, I am wrong. God is right, I am wrong. Wherever my opinion is in opposition to God's opinion, God is right, I am wrong. Does that make sense? You just go in. I am going to be instructed. I am not going to criticize the Word. I am going to allow the Word to criticize me. And I'm not going to say, boy, Brother Fred ought to hear this one. This one would be great. This is what Brother Fred needs. No, I'm going to say, what does Brother Bob need? Because I am really lagging behind in this area. Are you with me? Boy, that one stabs me in the heart. God, deliver me. He says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. To whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That means you're going to dissipate. What you have had in God, if you're not hearing the Word, what you have had, you're going to harden. And what you have had will eventually dissipate. And you'll still go to church, and you'll still sing the worship songs, and you'll still sing the hymns, but you don't know that living, vibrant, powerful, energetic faith, optimistic faith is actually gone. Now you got to find a good movie. Now you got to take a couple of sips of the old stuff again. Now all that stuff that you didn't need when you were on fire for God, all of a sudden you go back to those pleasure centers that once entertained you. Okay, so the kingdom of God is if even what he has will be taken away. And ask yourself, that's the way you ask yourself. Am I eroding? Is my vibrant faith eroding? The vibrancy of my faith, my commitment to Jesus, is it eroding? Am I backsliding? So I got my Jesus thing, so now I got to get my other things, my other bucket list things filled? Okay. And he's still talking. This is the same discourse, don't forget. Verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should rise by day and scatter seed, should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So it says you've got to plant the seed, and you've got to stay diligent that you've planted the seed and stay close, because the Word of God is a mystery, how it grows you up, how you're changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. How you become a new creature in Christ is something that's mystical. You stay in the Word of God. You stay, you know, excited in the Word of God, close to Jesus. Jesus is saying, you don't do anything to make that seed grow. You put it in the ground. You make sure it gets some sunlight. You make sure it's in a good environment. You make sure you weed around it. You do what you got to do, but you're not making anything happen. All of a sudden, that little burpy tomato package that had the picture of the beautiful, fat, ripe tomatoes on it, and I open the package and I say, hey, what a ripoff! It's got these great beefsteak tomatoes on the package. And all I got is these little crusty little looking things. Oh man, I thought I was getting me some tomatoes. Tomatoes, isn't that the guy, Larry Cable guy or something? Tomatoes, you know? And that, but if you plant them in the ground, you don't make that thing grow. You're not the inventor of the genome. But if it's taken care of, as Nancy and I so diligently take care of our potted tomatoes, it's my fault, I know. It's always my fault we end up with these really lousy tomatoes. Couldn't grow a tomato if you paid me. So the earth yields its crop. God does his thing in you. The thing is, you don't have to worry about it. If you do what he asks you to do, he will make you one of his. And then you become this new species, this new creation in Christ. And then he said again, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Again, if you stay with it, if you stay with God's word, if you allow to plant it and then add obedience, as you grow, add speech. Care about unsaved people. Care about what God cares about. As you care about what he cares about and you invest yourself in what he cares about, he's not saying don't have a job, don't live your life. Don't build a house and, you know, have a normal life. He's saying care about God. You can do it all. In verse 33, in many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were all alone, he explained all things to his disciples. What does that mean? When they were all alone, he explained all these things to his disciples. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's you and Jesus alone. When you're all alone, God explains these things to his disciples. If you're not alone with him, no splaining, right? But as you spend time with him, I'm going to go from there to Psalm 4, and I want to just show you a correlation. Okay, Psalm 4, this is Psalm of David. It says this. It says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. Stop and think about that. Think about that. How long? We wonder, what is the matter with our world today? And we shout at the big, you know, the big crimes of our day, you know, the immorality and all of those kind of things. I think it's much more ground. I think there's a problem that's much closer to the ground than that. I think that people don't appreciate someone who's good. I think the virtue of goodness is not appreciated. If you're smart, oh, we love you. You know, if you're a great business person, oh, we love you. You know, if you're a great singer or you're an American Idol or you have a lot of money or you're great looking, oh, boy, we love you, you know? But how about the guy who's good? How about the guy who just doesn't make a lot of noise? He's a really good guy. The goodness is self-evident. There's something about goodness, but you're not going to get a parade for being good. We're going to have a Joe Schmo parade because he's the goodest guy of all the goodest guys. He's just good. What has he done? Well, he's raised his family well. He's worked hard. He's made some mistakes, but he's good. I always know when I'm going to talk to him that I'm going to have a good exchange. Does he have problems? Sure. Does he come and get prayer? Sure. Does that make sense? We should love virtue. We should love virtue. People who go out of their way, not to show off. I'm not a showboat. I don't want to be a showboat. I'm not doing stuff for you to see or to show off how great I am or what a good person I am. Goodness is inner. Inner is close enough. It's an inner state of being. Goodness is an inner state of being. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right? He didn't say probably speaketh, but King James did. And so that's why I quote it that way. It says, how long, O sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. Goodness is godness. Goodness is godness. If you're godly, you're good. If you're godly, you're upbeat. You're not Debbie Downer or David Downer. You're optimistic. Goodness is godness. Listen, God plans on finishing this mission with great victory, bringing sons and daughters to glory, eternal glory.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson. Thank you for listening to this episode of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared out of the book of Mark in chapter 4. Pastor said the seed in the story is a representation of the word, and we pray that this word, like in the parable, fell on your heart like the seed that falls on good soil and bears fruit. We pray God has revealed himself as Savior to you today. Pray with me and be saved. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sins today and place my faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe you sent Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin. I believe Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross as a sacrifice for my sin. Holy Spirit, come now and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download an app on your computer or mobile device called the YouVersion Bible app and start reading a plan for new believers today. Begin to carve out a dedicated time in your day to pray and spend time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. We would love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, or online on our Facebook page. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, on the radio, and online every Sunday morning, thanks to generous donations from listeners like you. You can financially support the work of On Fire Radio by giving safely and securely online at www.cmcconline.org. While you're there, you can connect with us on all of our social media platforms by clicking on our social links or searching the handle at @CMCCChurch. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jacob Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.